Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. I can't wait to get out of September. As short as it was or is, seems like it was very long. I'm looking forward to October, Alfred.
Is October the next one, Melody?
Well, the last time I looked on my calendar.
I thought maybe the blood moon changed that, though. I wasn't sure.
No, no, we're still there.
Okay.
But, no, looking forward to October. I think everybody is, too. Everybody wants this last quarter done with. And
you mean the third quarter. Want the third quarter done, get in and enjoy the fourth quarter.
Yeah, so we can talk about Christmas. Oh, my. It is true. Time goes by very quickly. Gold. Not such a good day for gold. Down 440 today for gold. 1128.70. Silver is up a couple pennies today, up 04 at $14.73. Platinum was down 1 at 921, and palladium was up 9 at $661. Actually, today's trading reminds me of Mondays. Usually it's Mondays, it's been a little bit quiet. There's a little more activity yesterday. And today was just a very strange day in the markets. I don't know, just quiet. You know, not a lot of discussion.
It's in the eye of the hurricane,
Miller. No, it's just very quiet, maybe. But let's go on with the numbers here. We have the USDX today, 0.06. down at 95.88. Crude oil 0.71 higher at 45.14. And the paper markets today, you know, they've been up and down for the most part. And we've had the Dow, let me bring this screen up, was up 46 points, 16,048. Up 46 points at 16,048. The NASDAQ was down 26 at 45.17. The S&P was up 2 at 1,884. A little pressure on the 10-year yield, 2.05, down 0.04. The euro was stronger by 0.11 at 1.13. And I think I saw earlier today the Japanese markets got hammered overnight, over 4%. Hong Kong was down over 3%, but the European markets were pretty much like ours, not a lot of activity, just a few points to the downside. So Again, just seems like a little bit of a quiet day. Not a lot of reports, and just a lot of focus on, you know, Putin and Obama and, you know, what's happening at the UN, and everything seems to be focused in those areas. And, of course, the elections and so forth seems to be taking front stage, Al.
I got a friend of mine that I just talked to today.
You have
Michael
a friend?
Michael Ellis. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Michael is he's probably one of the most brilliant pro se litigants in the United States. And if there were ever a time when I was crossing, bumping heads with the Internal Revenue Service, I guarantee you, Michael, if I thought I needed help, Michael would be the guy I'd call. Talked to him earlier today. He has essentially uncovered fraud, massive fraud, in the Internal Revenue Service. He's got his case. He's in one of the appellate courts in Washington, D.C. right now. And it's the court has refused to allow him. He's had an attorney who wants to assist in this, who understands what he's doing. And the court has refused to allow him the assistance of counsel, which all by itself... it's just, I don't think I've ever heard of such a thing before. All right? They won't let him bring on an attorney. And I won't go through all the details, but they're trying to railroad him as best they can, and Michael is just standing up. And Michael, and he has, good Lord is with him. All right? Michael's not just run-of-the-mill. I mean, the hand of God is on this guy. Well, the point I'm trying to make is there's people in Congress that are aware of what Michael's been doing. There are people that are sitting back and they realize if Michael gets this case through, he's going to take the IRS down. It's not going to be because he has uncovered a massive computer-based fraud where for people that are not filing, the IRS alleges that they create a document to replace, to provide a 1040 that you didn't file, and in fact they never do, or at least that's what his evidence indicates up until now. And if this goes out and this goes forward and it goes public, he's going to probably break the IRS, which sounds like an incredible claim, and it's just like, oh no, yeah, nobody's going to do that. Yeah, I think he might. And the point I'm trying to make is there's a certain amount of silence going on, and people are talking about Lois Lerner and the rest of that sort of thing with the IRS. The IRS has much bigger problems. They are fundamentally flawed, and it may be they're going bye-bye. Now, I don't expect them to leave, you know, in the next quarter or anything like that, but they are extremely vulnerable right now if Michael can pull this off. So, there may be big changes, even though we are sitting in what seems like a quiet moment. There are things happening behind the scenes that are massive. Again, the court won't let him get an attorney. Nobody's ever done that before. I've never heard of such a thing. And it's not just that he needs an attorney. This guy is a very highly qualified attorney who's seen what Michael's doing. He says, my God, this guy's right. He says, I want in. They won't let him bring a really highly qualified attorney to assist Michael. Michael can handle us. I think he can handle. He doesn't need an attorney. But just the same, it's evidence that Michael's onto something. And the court is fabricating evidence. They're alleging he said things he didn't say. Made claims he didn't make. They are desperate to suppress this case. But they're not going to succeed. This is going to go through one way or another because Michael, he's not going to give up. They're not going to bribe him. I don't think they can threaten him. The world is becoming a very interesting place. I mean, it's always been interesting, but it's becoming more obviously interesting because we have internet, we have, you know, radio talk shows. We have ways of communicating information that we didn't have just 20 years ago. Spectacular ways of communicating information. And this system, the whole government, relies on public ignorance and false confidence. And we're seeing information come out that challenges that false confidence, that overcomes the ignorance. And the government is sitting back and say, what the heck are we going to do, Melody? We need dummies. We need more public high school graduates. Keep this government running. Well, people are educating themselves, and maybe public high school is not enough to guarantee that people are ignorant. So, we live in interesting times, and maybe we'll see. Maybe we're going to see an end to the IRS. I don't expect to see it, but I don't expect to see it in the next months, that's for sure. But we might see a movement. You know, we've got Donald Trump. He's had his proposal to simplify the tax code. This might happen in part just because the IRS has to go. Maybe we need just burn it to the ground and rebuild. Because there's so much fraud. The whole thing is... everybody, it's been buried in the Internal Revenue Code. I don't know how many of you ever picked up a copy of the Internal Revenue Code, Title 26. It's probably 3-4 inches thick. And it's convoluted and complex and contradictory and confusing and almost, I doubt that there's any living man who can sit down and say, oh yeah, I understand the entire Internal Revenue Code. I doubt if that's even possible. I doubt that anyone can say it. Nobody gets it, and yet they refuse to change it. And the reason is because they have hidden what's really going on under a haystack of laws and regulations and rules and whatever that are confusing, contradictory, complex. They've hidden them. And they want them to stay hidden, and that's why nobody's changed the code lately. Everybody can see. Why don't we have a code that's just simple? You know, in the Bible, 10%, give a tithe. How hard is that? Everybody should just, what if everyone just understood, look, you owe 10%, whatever you get. You can fill out your income tax return on a postcard and send it in. 10%. I made $100,000. I owe $10,000. Here's my check. They don't want that. They want this incredible complexity, and all it does is confuse and allow them to deceive us. Well, people like Michael, and there's two other attorneys, one on the East Coast and West Coast, who've seen Michael's work. They're using it. It's not going to be, they won't be able to conceal the fundamental fraud behind the IRS. Won't be concealable much longer. What happens then, Melody? How will we make it through life without the Internal Revenue Service?
Well, I wasn't aware that Donald, I know he talks about simplifying the tax code, but I didn't think that, from when I saw that he was just looking to change the amount of tax.
No, he's not talking about
to be paid. So he's not simplifying the tax code. He's just lowering the taxes.
That may
for
be,
most part and increasing.
True,
yeah.
It's evidence of an idea whose time may have come. Maybe it's time to make dramatic changes in the Internal Revenue System. And once you get that, once you embrace that possibility, someone will say, well, let's cut taxes. Okay, let's cut taxes. And somebody else is going to say, well, why don't we just simplify the whole thing? And somebody else is going to say, why don't we shut the doors on the IRS completely? What I'm trying to illustrate is that once that idea gets a little traction, that it's time to start changing the Internal Revenue System.
Well, the problem is
telling where it's going to end.
Well, the problem is, 50% of the population doesn't pay any tax anyway. So you got a small group of people that are paying all the taxes, and the people that don't pay any tax, that 50% that is below that, the level that he's looking to do, anything under 25,000. You know, what Trump is trying to do, I mean, they're not paying any anyway.
Well, that's, so, you know, why bother chasing them? Why bother even worrying about them? I mean, we knocked 93 million
people off the
unemployment rolls because they're no longer seeking benefits. They're allegedly no longer unemployed. Why bother counting these people who are making less than 25 grand a year? Just, it's essentially, what it's saying is, look,
because
if that's the limit, it's like saying anybody, it's just going to have an automatic 100% deduction on 25,000 per year. If you're making 25 or less a year, you don't pay income tax. It's equivalent to having something like a deduction on the first $5,000 you make, or $10,000, or whatever.
I think everybody, if there's going to be a tax, I believe there's everybody, and I agree with you. I think it should be a flat 10% and be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, forget all these, you know, things that you could deduct, exemptions, and except for gold. There has to be an exemption for gold for sales tax, but other than that, you know, forget it all. You know, 10%. You know?
Well, the problem you've got, the danger in this, I can see a certain practicality in not, look, they're not going to pay income tax anyway. They don't have anything. It's not worth chasing them. Look, just let it go. All right? Okay, I get that. That makes a certain amount of practical sense, but the danger is this. There are so many people in this country who would be exempt from paying income tax, but they'd still be voting. All right? And you could have a massive number of people who were ultimately not paying income tax, but they'd be in a position to vote for anybody who said, well, let's raise taxes on the other idiots that are paying income tax so they can give more money to you. You can live at a higher standard, more welfare, more unemployment insurance, whatever. It's dangerous to allow some people not to pay income tax because it creates a voting block that can work against those who are. It is much more sensible, in my opinion. Got a flat 10% across the board. Why is that sensible? 10%, 15%. I don't care what number you put on it precisely, but a flat rate. Why? It means that if you have a flat income tax rate, then all of us pay the same rate. The rich, the poor, the middle class, everybody pays the same rate. That means we are all united against a single adversary, which is who? Whoever it is that wants to raise taxes. And who would that be? It would be your friendly folks down in Congress and the White House. The graduated income tax is a way of dividing people against each other. And we start out and say, oh, the rich aren't paying enough. Raise the taxes on the rich. And we get used to that. And then they say, oh, the poor aren't paying enough. Raise the taxes on the poor. And then they say, oh, the rich aren't. And they play us against each other with a graduated income tax. With a flat tax, across the board, no deductions, no BS, 10%, then it's we the people versus them the government, which, in my opinion, is a big step forward. Graduated income taxes, or where some people don't pay income taxes and other people do, is dangerous, it's divisive, it's a divide and conquer strategy, and I don't think it's served this country well. Flat tax, good idea. Simple. Everybody can understand it. Who can't understand? You know, I mean, the only, how are you going to get out of it?
Well, the real issue, Al, is accountability. The real issue is sound money. The real issue is to keep Washington from spending to the point where we have been so strapped by taxes. So, you know, that's where it needs to change. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you're going to start out at 10%, but if nothing else changes, yeah, we'll have an overall increase, then everybody will soon be paying 15%.
No, but everybody will vote against it.
30.
That's the point.
Oh, yeah,
if
like that stopped them before.
Side. If we are all on the same side and we don't have a graduated income tax, it's not like the rich will support this tax increase and the poor won't. Everyone will be against it. No. If you're paying 10%, do you want to pay 11? No. How about 12? How about 15? How about 20? How about 50? No, 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 and no. All right? I don't want my income tax rolled. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or middle class, I don't want my income tax. Only under the most adverse circumstances would the public agree to an increase in the income tax. It would put a lid on government spending. It would put a lid on government growth. It would be good for liberty. It'd be good for freedom. Be good for the American dream. You know, let's do it. Starting tomorrow, Melody, we're going to have a flat income tax.
You really believe? But, go ahead. We need to go to break.
That's what I was going to say. Before we end the income tax, first we have to listen to some commercial announcements. So Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we are plotting to eliminate the income tax. Maybe not tomorrow, though. But before we do, what's next, Melody?
I just have a really great special for you, the bullion buyers. I have 1 ounce American Gold Buffaloes. 1 ounce American Gold Buffaloes. I have a very limited supply on these. So if you're interested, you must call us. And if we're out of them, we can extend the offer because this is such a great price. Basically, it is wholesale. I was able to pick some up today at a really good price, $1,169. The regular price on these would be closer to $1,195. So you're looking at about a $25 savings on these coins. So a very limited supply, $1,169 for 1 ounce American Gold Buffalo coins. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
We were looking at an article dealing with Donald Trump and his proposal to simplify the tax code. And one of his proposals, top-tier tax rate of 25%, down from the current 39.5%. Good or bad, Melody?
Well, I guess good. No,
yeah, I'd say so too. Cutting taxes. How can that be bad?
How can that be bad?
All right. He also proposed cutting the corporate tax to 15%. Cutting the corporate tax to 15%. Good or bad?
Well, I'm a corporation, so it's fantastic. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not necessarily convinced that corporations should pay less than people. I mean, if we're going to have a top tier tax,
hey, in the 50s and
tax rate for people at 25%, I would argue that the corporations should be paying, their top tier should be similar.
Hey, I'm in the 50s and 60s, I believe, maybe in the 70s, corporations paid most of the tax.
I agree. And I'd like to see a return to that. Today, it's most of the people pay most of the tax, and the corporations get the break. And when Trump, I don't doubt he's got decent economic reasons to say we'll cut the corporate tax rate to 15%, but when the people are still paying 25, there's still something wrong with that from my perspective.
Well, what's funny about this is they all talk about cutting and adding taxes for the wealthy, but the real wealthy, they're not even affected by it because they have so many other, they can move money around, they're invested in other countries and so forth that it's not taxable and so forth. So, you know, you watch all these wealthy guys say, yeah, I'll pay more tax. You had the guy, J.P. Morgan, Diamond, he came out, oh, I'll pay more tax. Warren Buffett, I pay more tax. Well, yeah. So it's just a joke. That's why, you know, these taxes changes and the differences that people pay, it doesn't amount to anything because it's just a joke.
Why do they need a lower corporate tax rate?
What is your train of thought? I can't read your mind.
Mm-hmm.
My idea, but...
You put your glasses on, you probably could. I think the reason that this is such a concern about low corporate tax rates is because we are involved in global free trade and other countries have lower corporate tax rates. And in order to attract corporate business into this country, we have to lower the tax rate on corporations. And I suspect, I don't know it to be true, but I suspect that's part of the motivation, maybe a big part, maybe the biggest part, of why they got to keep corporate tax rates down, because they're competing with other countries that are competing for corporations to locate their headquarters in. What's the solution to the problem?
Well, that's the idea, is to compete.
What's the solution to the problem? Raise tariffs.
And which he wants to do. But he wants to do that.
In this country could be protected from the cheap corporations in foreign countries, but they'd have to pay higher taxes in this country for the privilege of doing business in this market.
And that's what Trump wants to do.
Well, that may be. I haven't seen
it. And he has stated that he would, they would have to pay a tariff. He doesn't call it a tariff, but, you know, they would have to pay a tax if they...
You're talking about corporations.
Even our own corporations, if they built a car in a different country and to bring it back into the States, they would be charged a tax.
All right, then he's talking about raising
tariffs. He is talking about tariffs on those. But will that lower tax rate be enough when you're going to raise it someplace else? But the thing of it is wages. I mean, that's... You know,
it's really the critical point, but
really?
I mean, and a dangerously critical point, because we have the influx. Technology is giving us robots. We can bring our industries back, perhaps from China and third world countries, but they're going to come back staffed by robots. We're not bringing the jobs back. What are we going to do to keep the average American employed? And not just employed. I mean, we can always have them pull rickshaws or something. You know, we could. There's always something. They can scrounge around in trash heaps scrounging for something they might be able to sell to pay for dinner. There's always room for employment in a sense. But where do you find employment where people can make a decent living? We have strange things happening in this world right now, and I don't know how anyone's going to resolve them and solve them. But it'll be a big challenge. We'll see how do we keep people employed and doing what? You know, if the robots are doing increasing amounts of work and labor, what do you do that's meaningful for a job? You know, part of your business, part of the reason of having a job is not simply to put food or alcohol on the table. Right? Part of the reason is it gives your life a kind of meaning. We take meaning and we have a sense of self-esteem, self-worth out of our jobs. We are coming to a point where maybe whatever jobs we have, I'm not sure. Are they going to be able to provide a sense of meaningful self-worth? I mean, we don't all get our value out of our work, but we get some of it. I think there's some people, you know, I've known men in my life that, you know, they drive a certain amount of self-work. They're construction workers. They drive a sense of self-work out of digging ditches. You understand? People always just a ditch dig. No, you don't understand. A man who can really dig a ditch is something unusual and something worthy of respect. Most people don't understand what can be done with a shovel. And I've been around people and I've done it. There's people that are competent at their work and they can take pride in that. They only ditch there. Yeah, but he can dig that ditch and keep it on line. Keep it at the proper elevation and angle, all right? And do extraordinary. You can take pride in your work. And some people can take pride in construction work, but what if robots dig all our ditches and ultimately build our homes? What's left for people who are inclined to work physically? Is there anything left for them? What are they going to do? These are problems that are going to face our Congress and President and whoever into the future, and it's going to take more than jiggering the tax code to figure out what we're going to do to provide meaningful employment, especially in a world where we're flooding this country with immigrants, even illegal immigrants. They're coming here, what for? What are we going to have for employment for these people, Melody?
Not much. And there is, you have seen the pride in workmanship drop. I mean, people just show up and do, even the contractors that you're talking about. Look at all the problems. There's so many people and they need to get so many jobs done so quickly. They've lost in the transition, to do more and more and more. And they lost, the desire for for the pride in workmanship, and wages go down, you're doing more and more, and there's countless reasons why this is all happening, and there's
what is the solution? There's the problem. You know, it's not so hard to spot the reasons on this thing and why it's happening, but what do we have for a solution?
Well, we do have a caller. Maybe he knows. Should we go to him?
Dave from Michigan?
Dave from Michigan.
I don't know. Let's see.
Hello,
Dave,
Melody.
You have an answer?
Hey, Dave.
Questions?
Hey, I'm back.
How you doing?
I see my hospital bill, but at least I paid mine. Guy next to me was Muslim, and I know he doesn't have a bill. So, anyway.
He doesn't have Obamacare?
He's got some special care, I think. He was playing the call next to me in bed, 666, of all numbers. He's been 3 in the morning playing really loud the call to prayer. The nurses were afraid to say anything to him. So there you go. Anyway, I thought it was kind of funny myself. Warren Buffett, he always brags that his secretary pays more tax than he does, and he owes millions, and he still refuses to pay up, though. He just brags about it. Starting October 1st, a gift from Debbie Stabenow and Carl Levin in Michigan. Carl's leaving, so he gave us this gift. He's tried since 1998 to have put a tax on Internet sales, just another tax. And it's called the Fairness Act, and that's so brick-and-mortar stores the Internet. So I was on the phone today ordering everything I need for my boat, my car, my house. Get it all now before the 6% sales tax goes on, you know. And, of course, they still say they have no money in Michigan to fix the roads, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, it's Carl's gift to the working man. And then you've got the immigrants that's been said that 90% of them are on welfare. They come here. No one sponsors them. Used to be you needed a sponsor to say that you would take care of all expenses of this individual. And some of these people coming even from Saudi Arabia have 3-4 wives, and they put them all instantly on welfare. And we're paying for it. And it's just making Social Security supposed to go broke by 2040. 2030, 2017, 2 years. I mean, they're just breaking the bank with this. These people have paid nothing into it, and they're just taking from it. And I think it's just a deliberate act to wind the clock down on that. And, of course, Mr. Obama, being alleged commander-in-chief, should be brought up before a military tribune for having trading with and making deals with the enemy as far as allowing an invasion of foreign people, which basically could be troops, and into this country. And so I think, you know, he should be put on charges. And, of course, the military, the generals that are left, I don't think they have the better parts of a man because they're not doing anything. And I really think he should be put on trial. But that's my opinion.
Well,
and he and his wife, now the Pope's here, he's talking about carbon. Mr. Obama and his wife both flew to a conference 2 weeks ago, and they used two separate planes. They can't even fly together anymore. So there you go. And, of course, in that cavalcade there with the Pope, they had 8 Suburbans, a heavy-duty truck, 32 motorcycles. You know, there's no carbon footprint there.
No, I understand.
And I just wonder how ridiculous.
Yeah, all electric. And then those cops aren't on motorcycles; they're on bicycles. Huh? And the,
the airplane—it's
not a 747; it's a balloon.
Yeah. Kind of every time the Air Force One, they got a new one being built because he wore the other one out. They might call this golf club one. Is $1 million just to take off. And he was recently near my house and flew right over the house. And there's the helicopter, and then there's the C-17 with the Beast limousine in there. That thing gets about 3 miles to a gallon. And, you know, you got to walk the talk. At least the Pope, when they actually ran the other Pope out of the Vatican because he wasn't going to go along with this program, and they sent him to the summer Vatican, they had 6 limousines, Mercedes, take him to the helicopter pad. And then at the other Vatican, they had 6 more huge stretched 6 limousines take him there. But I actually think he's being held prisoner there. And they found a guy that they would do their bidding. And so I have no use for this new Pope. I don't think he's ever read the Bible.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I had 12 years of parochial education, go to church every week. And a few times I should have been dead, but I recovered out of the hospital, and that was my trip number 13 to a hospital. And my widowmaker artery was 99% closed. Most people would have been dead, and I walked in there. So I thank God for that.
Well,
you know, one other thing, the power of prayer, Al. I've been praying that God send a message through these Saudis and other people. And I guess, you know, lightning hitting a crane and the crane falling on a mosque.
Yeah, I know.
You got to call that an act of God.
What about the stampede?
Yeah.
Well, that's just
they
stupidity.
Had a stampede just in the last week or 10 days, killed something like 700 people. If I remember.
Yeah, well, everybody's in a big hurry to get down to that column to throw rocks, you know?
Uh-huh.
Whatever. I mean, just whatever you want to believe. But don't force me to believe, you know, whatever you got going. You know, it's just. I thought that was hilarious.
I just
that happens
you
in India.
I had some in-laws once upon a time who were Catholic, and I heard them refer to the Nope back, this is 20 years ago anyway, and I hadn't heard that term from anyone other than them, and that was when you referenced the Nope, I thought, I bet you might be Catholic. And sure enough. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break for some commercials. And if you've had enough, Dave, we've got another call.
Yeah, like I say, new day, nothing changes, just more taxes.
Well, we'll watch and see. They can impose more taxes, but can they collect them? There's the question. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate your call.
All right, take care.
We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment with our other caller, Jim from West Virginia.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
And I just want to remind the listeners that we have the 1 ounce gold buffalo, American buffalo coins, for $1,169. Great deal. About $25 savings from the original price or retail price. So what a deal. Give us a call.
Okay, we've got Jim from West Virginia holding on the line. Oh, Jim, how are you doing?
Oh, I've been better. I'm sure I've been worse. Now, the two things about taxation, I want you to really think about this and don't jump ahead of me. Okay, as long as you have individual taxes, the taxing agency can come after individuals. Most people can't believe this would happen, but somebody's have been known to file bogus tax returns with the IRS. And the IRS, based on this, no due process or anything, hands out garnishes and liens, and the state tax department says, ooh, you owe us too. So they slap on some garnishes and some liens, and the effort you make to get the IRS to cough up these bogus tax returns ends up with nothing, even though you could prove that you didn't have this. Okay, that's number one. As long as you have individual taxes, you can come after you individually. Number two, there is no such thing as a business tax. Never has been, never will be. There's no such thing as a corporation tax. Never has been, never will be. You only have a business customer tax, a corporation customer tax. So if you want to hand overseas corporations an advantage, tax American corporations. If you want less of a tax, if you don't want less of a tax, you'll get less of it. All right, so that's point number two. All right. Matter of fact, Caterpillar, just bulldozer people, just a motor, whatever you call it, just about bailed out and went to Mexico back in the 80s until they got some tax breaks, okay? So that's point number two, corporate taxes. This is it's just corporation customer taxes. A sales tax would not tax savings. A sales tax would not tax savings, something we desperately need to encourage. A sales tax would work, but we don't need individual taxes. We don't need business taxes. A business tax only serves to A, decrease availability, and or B, increase price of goods or services. C, suppress wages. Okay, so suppress wages. D, increase unemployment. E, driving the business out of the taxing jurisdiction or out of business. Now, that is a blueprint of what they have done in America. Every time they attack either agriculture or mining or manufacturing or trade, that's an attack on people because people always pay taxes. Okay, does that make perfectly good sense? So I'm having a hard time buying this flat tax going after individuals. And I have a hard time, I mean, a sales tax makes more sense. I have a hard time with any kind of a business tax because that just simply destroys business. Does that make sense?
Well, it may make sense. I mean, does it make sense to get rid of the government? In many regards, yeah. How about we cut the government by half? Does that make sense?
Well,
yeah, it makes sense. But if we're going to have a government, we're going to wind up having taxes. I mean,
the
there are some
problem.
Things that are going to happen in this world, whether you like them or not, they're still going to happen. And therefore, you try to do what you can to deal with them, but...
Well, the biggest problem with taxation is the ignorance on the part of the people. They don't understand that when you buy an American car, let's say you pay $30,000 for an American car, about $20,000 of that has to go back through the whole system, all the way back to where they dug the ore out of the ground, to pay all the taxes on the people, places, and things. People think, oh, I don't pay very many taxes. And no, the total tax take always lands in the price of the final product. Okay, economy means a household of money from Greek. Ecology means a household of logic or knowledge. Toxins in the ecology, taxes in the economy are just like toxins in the ecology. They accumulate in the final product, the final price of whatever it is that one is being, what's being purchased. So the biggest problem is A, too much government. The reason why we have too much government is B, the American people don't realize how much it costs them. When you understand that about two-thirds about everything you buy, two-thirds of that price has to go for taxes, that means that government costs more than food, clothing, shelter, transportation, insurance, utilities, you name it, entertainment, education combined. Now, if the American people
are
now barely
does that... Are you suggesting we should only have taxes on the final product? For example, with the automobile, you say the tax... Two-thirds of the cost of the automobile is taxes that have been imposed every step of the way, all the way back to where they pulled the iron ore out of the ground. Now, if that's true, do we get rid of most of these taxes, or do we impose the taxes only on the final product but not on digging the iron ore or any of the intermediate steps before we get to a product? I don't think that's what you're suggesting, but I'm curious what you think about it.
Bingo, because that way people know how much they paid.
I think that's an important point right there. Get rid of the hidden taxes, and people can make an intelligent decision as to whether or not the government is too big, too small, or just right. As long as
the
taxes are hidden, we don't realize how big and oppressive the government is. Get rid of the hidden taxes. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, people don't realize that when they go to a grocery store, they're paying the taxes of everybody who works in that grocery store, ultimately, because where does their paycheck come from? From the groceries that you buy. I mean, this is so stupid and simple, I could just scream why people don't get this. Now, my parents learned that before they got out of first grade, out of grade school, okay? I thank you for what you're doing. God bless you. Take care, okay?
All right, Jim, thank you. All right, Melody, should we have taxes only on final products? I mean, it's a challenging idea because do we let farmers, for example, grow corn without paying a tax on the corn? Would they be exempt from taxes because the corn is going, the only people have to pay is ultimately the consumer on the corn. Whoever's in the last step before people eat the corn, they have to pay taxes. No one else does. Who's involved in growing the corn, shipping the corn? It'd be a difficult thing to implement. Well, at least it's hard. The idea is hard to kind of get used to. You know, you sit there and you think, wait a second, does this sound even possible?
I mean, what would the sales tax have to be on a product that you purchase?
Depends on how big a government you want. How big a government do you want? If you want a little government, you get by with 5%. If you want a massive government, you need 40%.
Then you're tacking on already the state taxes. I mean, look at our gasoline. I mean, you have all kinds of taxes that are in there, and
yeah, but you know,
what do you actually pay for? What do you actually pay for a gallon of gas?
that's all people know. That's all people care.
You pay $2.50, but you know a buck of it only goes for the gasoline. Everything else is you know city, state, federal tax.
Well, you
know
what they should have on that machine.
I mean, and how much does it really go to, you know, supposedly the roads and where it's supposed to go? I mean, there's so much corruption. How could you maintain where all this money is funneled out to?
Well, speaking of the gasoline, it's a good example of how we are deceived. We just see the price of gasoline, $2.50 a gallon, and that's what we pay and that's what we know. But what if we looked, what if the meter on the gas pump down at the gas station, what if it not only revealed, here's the price of the gasoline, a buck, and we've got another wheel that tells us how much you're paying in taxes. And people would be educated.
Oh, really? People educated?
Well, I understand.
I mean,
it's
look
a
at
dream.
The... Look
it's a dream. Call me a dreamer. Call me a wild-eyed dreamer, Melody. But at least they'd have a chance to understand, oh, my God, how much money are we really paying? Who are you paying for the gasoline?
How many?
If over half of it is taxes, who's really selling you the gasoline? OPEC or the government?
How many people read labels on their food? How many, you know, and is the food companies, you know, Monsanto and all those are all against labeling where your food comes from.
I understand.
And they just get around.
Well, they try, but I mean,
and they do.
Try, but we can either surrender or we can try. You have to understand we live in an adversarial world. And if you have money, there are people who want to take it. It's that simple. And if you want to keep whatever it is you've got, you have to become an adversary also. You have to recognize who your enemies are, and you have to work against them. Or you can just surrender and say, oh, you can take whatever I've got. I don't care. I don't want to fight. Let's sing Kumbaya. Truth is, you got to fight these people, right? Because they're willing. I guarantee they're willing to rob you. And who's going to defend you? John Boehner? The Republicans? The Democrats? The president? The courts? You know, you got to find ways of leaning on these people and spreading word over the internet, for example, where in some instances, ideas go viral. People say, oh my gosh, that's right. Next thing you know, a particular corporation isn't selling any product because they made some sort of a mistake. They have offended the buyers. They've offended their audience. And enough people back off where... You know, corporations get the message and say, all right, we can't rob them the way we have in the past. Less robbery. Put out the memo to all the vice presidents and the help. We can't rob them the way we've been robbing them. Let's do a little less robbery.
People really do have a lot of control over corporations and the purchasing of the items and so forth. And I know if I have, and I've had people tell me, if they had a problem, they don't write to the local business. They write it right to the top of the CEO.
Yeah.
And that problem is fixed right away.
Yeah.
I worked for insurance. We paid claims. They were called good faith claims. You know, well, you know, this is a little gray, but hey, we got to present and keep our image that we pay claims. So these corporations do care to some degree about their image because, you know, hey, you know, they need your money, and not only that, the shareholders need your money, too. And, you know, that's what it's all about. But I think these corporations are almost too big anymore to...
Many of them are. Too big to fail.
Too big to fail.
Yeah, too big to fail, too big to jail. You know, maybe just the right size to fine, however. And therefore, they collect money, they steal money from ordinary Americans, and then the government steals the money from the corporations. We have a hierarchy of thieves. Government wants its cut. Doesn't want the corporations really to stop robbing people, just wants to make sure that the government gets its cut.
I had someone this weekend that was reading a book, and he said to me, he said, did you know that income tax was illegal? And, you know, and it was the acknowledgement that, you know, he learned something that he thought all these years. I mean, the you know, he's friend of the family's, you know, 70-some years old. And he's like, wow, I mean, yeah. It was interesting to see the, you know, but...
Lights.
Yeah.
Got that light bulb going on. It really happens. You do see the light go on, you know, and it's interesting.
It is. Yeah. But so it does work, and it's all about education, and that's what these programs are all about, is educating and, you know, to help you understand, you know, where we're headed. The day of reckoning is coming, folks. We don't know when it is. I mean, we're more right than anyone out there when we talk about things that are going to happen. We just don't know when, and no one else does either. Our predictions, our guidelines, our time frames have been more spot on than anyone else's. And, you know, and that's so important. It's you have to make a decision. You have to learn what's going on, and you have to do what's necessary for your family. And it's difficult when you're going against the stream, you know, because here again, here's a person that woke up about something of the taxes. And, you know, the next thing is he'll wake up to other things, too, because now he'll start questioning things now.
Yeah. Once you do begin to see the truth, you know, I've used the analogy for years. I went through a divorce in 1983, and up until then I was fat, dumb, and happy, and I thought the government was great, or more or less. I wasn't concerned about it. I suffered a great injustice, and when I did, it was as if someone had smacked me right between the eyes with a 2x4. And as a result of that injustice, all of a sudden I became able to see in color, where previously the world had just been shades of gray. But once you see the injustice for yourself, one time, it turns on your eyes, you say, oh my God, and now you can see the bright red color of injustice in scores of places where previously you'd walk right on by, you just saw shades of gray. But now you say, oh, that's unjust, that's unjust, that's unjust. It's something extraordinary when you get your lights turned on and you begin to see for the first time in your life. It's something that you can't teach. You can't exactly make happen in other people. It's not just about going to school, but it's something about you go through certain problems in life, and all of a sudden, it's like the man Melody's talking about. He had the light turned on. All right, all of a sudden he could see. At an advanced age, but better late than never. And it's quite extraordinary when it happens. It'll change your life. If it does happen, it'll change your life as it's changed mine. You know, I wouldn't be doing this sort of work. I wouldn't be anywhere close to this if it weren't for the fact that I suffered a great injustice, 32 years ago. Puts you off in a different trail. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. And in the meantime, hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Money, money, money.